Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
January, we have been exploring our new theme, Crisis Proof, which is biblical certainties in an uncertain world. And today I want to continue on that theme, and I want to look at the certainty of victory in life. The certainty of victory in life. See, I believe that the time is now to experience deliverance and freedom in our lives. See, biblically speaking, deliverance means that we were once slaves, we were in bondage, we were captives, but now we've been delivered. We've been set free. The chains of oppression have been broken and we get to walk in deliverance. But the problem for us though, and I think the problem for some of us who are Christians, while it's true that God has delivered us, we don't always live like we've been delivered. We don't always live in the victory that God has purchased for each and every single one of us. And I want to explore a little bit more about into that subject today. See, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified on a cross for the sins of all mankind. He died to pay the penalty that our sins have incurred with God. Jesus took care of, defeated once and for all, the greatest challenge in our lives, which is sin. And we will be celebrating that next Sunday when it comes to Easter Sunday. But sin and death and the grave, he beat it all. He beat it all. 3 days later, he rose again. So he lives today as king. And the good news for you and I today is the war over you is done. The war over you is done. When Jesus died, he said, it is finished. It's paid, it's completed. There's nothing else that you can do, nothing else you need to do to get right with God and go to heaven. Trust in Jesus. It's been done for you. It's simply a matter of receiving by faith, through the grace of God, the finished work of Christ. The war is decided. Jesus won that victory once and for all. However, though, Jesus might have won the victory, but I still fight battles in my life. I still fight battles, and I'm sure you guys still fight battles. Whether you're sitting here in the building or watching online at home, we still fight battles in our life each and every single day. See, I've trusted in the finished work of Jesus. There's nothing else I can do. I can't earn heaven, and I don't need to even try because I'm freely a child of God. That is absolutely true. My enemy has been defeated. Satan is as good as dead. But you see, God happens to love people and he wants more people in his family than are currently in his family. He keeps saving people and he keeps spreading the gospel. So time continues until that day when Jesus comes again. And while time continues, Satan, who is defeated, and take note, past tense, Satan who is defeated, he has done, he still gets a little bit of freedom though for the remainder of our years until Jesus comes again. And while he's here, and while Satan is here, and while our flesh is still here, and while planet Earth is still what planet Earth is, we still have to fight these skirmishes and battles, and some of them can feel really crushing in our life. But the promise is that you're not going to be defeated by those battles and those skirmishes. When you trust in Jesus, you will walk in victory forever. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says this: day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect those who have been made holy. See, that's you and I who trust in Christ. We are being made holy over our lifetime. So the war is decided. We have peace with God through Jesus. But there's still some battles raging. But nobody, let me tell you, nobody is fighting harder than an enemy who's angry that he's already been defeated and that he knows he has no hope of winning. And that's where we're at with the greatest enemies we will face in our lives. And I want to challenge you today, if you're watching online or you're sitting in this room, I want to challenge you today to live in the freedom and the victory that God has declared for you. I want to challenge you to stand up and fight. Yes. to fight for the freedom that's already been purchased for you. Because while we're while it's as good as done that you are free, we need to live like we're free.
Yes.
We need to live like we're free. We need to learn to be free people in Jesus. And on the journey to that, we still struggle and we still hang on to things in our life. These are the things that hold us back. And I want to shake those chains loose this morning, or this afternoon even. I want to shake those chains loose. And we've got to let those old bondages go. The old strongholds need to go. The things that hurt us and the things that held us back, they need to go. They need to go. We need to establish a life in which we are no longer held back by those things, but we are set free from them. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, I want to read a part of a chapter. And before I read it, you have to understand, though, that Isaiah is writing a prophecy here to God's people long before the events occurred that he was writing about. And in Isaiah chapter 43, he's telling them, and God is speaking through Isaiah to his people, and he's saying, you're going to go into captivity, but God's going to deliver you from that captivity. And when he delivers you from that captivity, this is what I want you to do. So if you've got a Bible handy at home or here in the room, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to read through from verses 14. And the words should be also on the screen as well. It says here, this is what the Lord says from verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. And let me just pause there in that chapter for a second, but keep it open. We're going to go back to that chapter in a second. See, he's already told them that captivity is coming. He's now looking at the future and he's saying to them, but God's going to step in to your captivity and he's going to overcome the Babylonians and you will be set free, you will defeat them and you will be released. That's his promise to the people of God. But I love how in this verse that we just read, he's reminding them of who he is. Multiple times he's reminding them of who he is. He's saying, this is what the Lord says. This is your Redeemer. This, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. He's reminding them of who he is and who they are, his people. And then he starts to give them a reminder of the past. And in verse 16 in Isaiah 43, it says here, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty warriors, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. And again, let me pause, but keep your Bibles open at Isaiah 43. See, he's pointing them back to a point in time where their children were released in slavery once before. They managed to get out of Egypt, and they started heading for the promised land, and immediately they come across this great obstacle, which was the Red Sea. And Israel's army is behind them, the Red Sea's in front of them, and they're stuck. They're stuck. They've been released from slavery, but they are stuck a long way away from the promised land. And I fear that's where some of us, either in this room or watching online, are today. We're spiritually in that place where we're stuck. We're released, we've been released, we've been set free, we're paid for, but we're stuck. The enemy is on us and we don't know what we're going to do. We haven't understood yet the nature of the victory in our lives. But God reminds them, I showed up, I parted the sea, you walked across on dry ground, the Egyptians chased you, I buried them, I took care of you in the past, I freed you from slavery. And then on that basis, it goes back and he gives them a great promise in verse 18. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. See, the context here is that God is a deliverer. He has set his people free in the past. He set them free from Egypt. He will set them free from Babylon. And he will set us free from our spiritual bondage. And the reason I point to that is because in verse 25 of that Isaiah 43, it says there, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. I don't know about you, but I think that is good news. That is good news. He remembers your sins no more. So he's saying, I want you to trust in the King, the Holy One of the Holy One, Israel's Creator. I want you to believe in the God who does this. This is what he does. He sets us free from bondage. He did it from Egypt into the promised land. He will do it again from Babylon back into the promised land. He will do it in our lives by blotting out the sins and the transgressions that have had their chains and their grip on us for long enough, so that we can live spiritually free in Jesus. Let me ask you, are you living spiritually free in Jesus today? See, the foreshadowing here is of the cross and the resurrection, in which he wipes out our sins and remembers them no more. So we are free. But let me tell you, we don't always live like we're free. See, we who believe in Christ, we are free. We don't have to be held by the chains of addiction anymore, yet we still sometimes wander into that place. We are free from the need to be envious or jealous of anyone, and yet we still wander into that place today. We don't have to hold on to the bitterness or the unforgiveness in our life, and yet we still stay stuck between slavery and freedom. We don't fight spiritual battles to help God win. God has already won the battle already. We fight spiritual battles so that we fully realize and step into the life that God has won for us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And I think that's a bit funny phrasing when you read that verse. When he says that Christ has set us free, we tend to think, yes, that's good, I got saved, I trusted him, I'm free, I can just coast along in life till I get to heaven. But Paul is saying there, stand firm, stand firm. Christ has set us free, but stand firm. And then do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So Paul here is suggesting that it's possible that as a believer in Jesus, it's possible for me to drift back into that place of bondage. Back into the place where I'm held captive by wrong thinking due to lies or unforgiveness or sin or lust or greed or materialism. All kinds of things pull us back into that bondage. And all of us have a tendency to drift into things. Not just me, everybody. All of us have a tendency to drift back into some of these things. And I believe that every single Christian in this room or watching online struggles with the temptation to return back to bondage once again. And I want to talk this morning briefly about three of the most common areas that Christians can find themselves back in bondage. And this is based on me, over the years, in pastoral situations, helping, working with people, the three biggest areas that we have to do pastoral ministry in. It's examples of the way that Christians struggle with returning to slavery and getting themselves back into that place of bondage once again in our life. So number one, I want to encourage you, we need to stand firm, like Paul's telling us, stand firm against selfishness by dying to self. See, as Christians, our life is no longer about us. It's not all about me, myself, and I anymore. It's about Jesus Christ, the King. He's our King, and our life should be all about him. But that doesn't happen, if we're honest. That does not happen all of the time. Sometimes my life becomes all about me. And I'm sure that happens for you too, that it becomes all about you. And if you drift into materialism or just being obsessed with comfort and all that kind of thing, but I want us to dig a little bit deeper into it this morning. I think selfishness is much more about where our focus is rather than some of these things. Selfishness is not just claiming everything for myself and giving nothing to others. That is a part of it, but I think we struggle with that part of it. But the thing that presents a particular kind of bondage for us is the kind of selfishness in which our focus is all wrapped up in our own problems and issues and our comfort and our life being better. But the problem is, though, we just get stuck there with a focus that's not on Jesus. Not on others, not on our loved ones, not on compassion for people who are also hurting in life, but instead we're just kind of focused in on ourselves. And I'm not telling you that you never need to focus in on yourself. You absolutely do. There's an appropriate moment to look inside. Absolutely. Because sometimes we need to repent. We need to heal. We need to talk. We definitely need to do all of these things. But the problem is when we stay there, when we stay focused in on self, when Jesus at the same time is calling us to something different to that. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Challenging words straight from Jesus. And I want to rewind a little bit in history just for a second and help us to realize that a cross is an instrument of execution. Jesus is saying here, die to self, lay self down. Deny yourself, take up your instrument of your own execution, and die to yourself and give your will and, your, and control of your life, the ambition of your life, the direction of your life, give it completely over to Jesus. See, you are now dead. The old life is gone. You're a brand new living. You're brand new living under the authority of King Jesus completely. But what happens is, though, we get stuck in the patterns of selfishness and self-focus, self-pity and self-loathing, and we get stuck there. But God wants us to move beyond that so that we've laid self down and our focus is now totally fixed on the one that we're following. That's how we can live in victory over our own selfishness to self, by focusing in on Jesus. Secondly, I want to encourage you to stand firm against bitterness by forgiving others. See, bitterness is one of those things that just kind of takes root deep down inside. We get mad, we get angry, we get upset, and we start repeating, rehearsing that thing that made us mad and angry and upset. We start playing it over in our mind. And sometimes, over time, we've actually changed the story a little bit to make it sound even worse than it actually was. We've let the tiny little thing that offended us become a big, massive thing that becomes a blockage, and it's keeping us back in life because we're focused in on the big thing that didn't even happen. And I want to be careful again in saying that for every one of these areas of bondage, there is some element of something that we might actually need to face in our lives. In other words, someone may have hurt you in a way that you need to deal with. I don't believe that bitterness is just facing the things that have hurt us. Bitterness is facing the things that hurt us and then rehearsing on repeat over time as though I will never ever escape the pain. That's bitterness. That's bitterness when you just keep it going in your mind over and over and over. And of course, there may be a time to confront what's been done to you, and there may be a time to confront someone who has hurt you. Absolutely, yes. But I'm talking about making the choices to live beyond that, making the choice to set them free. Because the fact is, when I hold someone in unforgiveness, when you hold someone in unforgiveness, we're not normally holding them anywhere. It's me that's held. I'm the one that's stuck because I won't move beyond it and I won't let it go. And we end up getting stuck in that situation. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And see, when Paul's saying here, if any of you has a grievance against someone, he's not saying don't ever take a stand against evil. He's not saying don't ever deal with people that have hurt you and just let them go on hurting other people. He's not saying any of those things. There's a time to deal with those things in your life. But if you're hanging on to that grievance, if it's something that you kind of nurse in your life, that you kind of keep it there, and then you treat your bitterness because that's a friend that you need in your life, that's the kind of thing that you have to let go. Because that's bondage, and that's slavery in your life. It's getting stuck in a pattern of just circling over what has happened in the past and living and dwelling there. Defining yourself by it and becoming darker on the inside and turning against the people that you now love. You're letting bitterness shape you, and Jesus says, you have to let that go. You have to let it go. Why? Firstly, because God forgave you. See, we never have a right to hold someone long-term in unforgiveness because God has already forgiven us. Instead, we are commanded to do this very hard thing of forgiving. See, there's some things, I'm being honest, I don't want to forgive. There's some things I don't want to forgive. But then you get that nudge from the Holy Spirit. It's time to let it go, Stephen. It's time to let it go. And I'm saying, no, it's not. That really hurts. I want to hang on to it for a little while. I've got to keep it here because somehow it soothes my pain from the hurt. It's a distraction from what I'm really feeling in life. And now I understand that for some of you, you've been hurt very badly by people. You've been hurt very deeply by people. And I don't want to minimize any of that or the results or the effects of that at all. But I want to challenge you to look forward towards the freedom instead of backwards towards the bitterness. Because what bitterness is doing is standing on the timeline of your life and looking backwards at what was done and keeping our focus there. You're still back in the bitterness. You're not stepping into the victory that can come. We can't move forward when our focus is always backwards on what was done in our life. See, the word forgive literally means to release from a debt. So the whole time I'm focused on what someone owes me, they owe me an apology. They owe me my time. They owe me a career. They owe me a marriage. I'm not going to be happy until I get it back from them. But the problem is, most of the time, you're never ever going to get it back from them. They're never going to pay you back. So you can decide today to cut the strings. My life no longer depends on being paid back. And you can choose to move forward into the victory that God has won for you. You can declare today that I am forgiven. Yes. I am forgiven. And then thirdly, and I think this is the biggest area for most of us, I want to encourage you to stand firm against the lies by receiving God's truth. Yes. See, I think this is the biggest area, the biggest problem for us if we're sitting in this room or watching online at home, is the bondage to lies in our life. It's the bondage to thinking incorrectly about who God is, about who I am, what my story means. It's the lies that get whispered into our ear. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, God says, you need a shield of faith because it's the fiery arrows of the enemy. That's the life we live. The arrows are coming from every direction and the lies are there. If you don't recognize the lies, I'll give you some. So when you hear that little voice in your head saying, you're just never going to overcome this, I want to tell you today, that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. It's a temptation to believe something about yourself that just is not true. You'll never measure up. That's a lie. God made you. He has plans for you. And he showers you with grace. You will measure up. You will more than measure up. Don't believe the lies that you will never ever measure up. You'll never go over this sin. Again, that's a lie. God has promised victory over sin is possible, and we can claim that victory in our lives. It's secured in him, and you can fight for it, and you can win it. And let me be really clear about this. When I say stand up and fight, take your stand, I'm not saying stand up and fight in your own power and fight the best that you can do. I'm saying that when you decide to stand against the enemy and stand for truth and stand for Jesus, then God gets right in the middle of that, and he stands up inside of you. He's your power. He's your answer. He's your wisdom. He is everything that you need. So this is not you fighting Satan. That's a scary proposition, that, us fighting Satan. Instead, this is God in you overcoming your greatest enemies. This is God in you setting you free to live out the freedom that he has purchased for you. This is you claiming the victory in life that Jesus earned for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So when you stand up and fight, God gives you his word. When you stand up and fight, God gives you his community of people. When you stand up and fight, he gives you his Holy Spirit. He gives you the power, the gift, the ability, everything you need to fight to get free from that bondage and claim victory he has already given you. Are you tapping into that today? He has given you weapons that are spiritual, that are mental, that are emotional, that have to do with your soul on the inside of who you actually are. When those lies and those fiery darts are heading in our direction, we can knock them down with the shield of faith, the belt of truth, and the sword of the Spirit, and we can come before God and say, no, I reject that lie in this exact moment. I reject that lie. But I can tell you from experience, though, these arrows, sometimes they find the cracks. Sometimes they find the cracks. And you're thinking, I'm okay, I've been good for a few weeks. But then that word that is spoken by someone, maybe it's just an innocent little word that they don't even think twice about it. But the enemy uses it for evil in our life. And there we are, back in bondage once again. We're trapped. We're stuck in a pattern. I'm stuck between slavery and freedom. I can't possibly go back to slavery. That is already gone. The possibility of going back to slavery has already been taken care of. We can't go back to slavery. Jesus paid for my freedom, so I can't go back there. But I'm not moving forward either. I'm not moving forward into the promised land. I'm just stuck looking at the freedom that's in the distance, wondering, how do I get in? How do I get to that freedom? You take your stand. You decide to fight. You decide to suit up with everything that God's equipped you with, and you take your stand. Let me tell you, that is the only way. That is the only way. And again, I don't believe that you personally have to overcome the evil one. The Bible is clear that greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. That when you're in Christ, you have overcome the evil one. That you get to in your life, fight those battles knowing that God wins. And today I want us to walk in the victory. I want us to celebrate the victory. But you need to understand first. Understand that your enemy hates you. And he hates your family and everything about you. And sometimes you get right in the middle of a battle. You get right in the middle of a struggle or a conflict. The argument and the emotions are rising and it's just getting intense. And you're feeling that self-loathing in your life. How did I get back to that place of bondage once again? Why did I come back to this place again? But you have to understand that none of this is just earthly. The Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with people. We wrestle with invisible powers that are at work all around us. The battle is spiritual. The weapons are spiritual. The solution is spiritual, that God wants you to be free from slavery. And going back to what Isaiah said, there's a day coming when you're going to have to look at everything you're facing in your life, the bondage that you're stuck in, stuck here, looking at the freedom that's over here, and you're going to have to say, the former things are gone. God is doing a new thing. Let that new thing begin today. See, I believe that you can walk in victory today. You can start walking in that victory that Jesus won for you today. Today, you don't have to go back to the bondage anymore. You don't have to be stuck anymore in that slavery back there. You can go into that promised land. You can walk in the victory today. And let me
thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.